Well, that cheering you hear can only mean one of two things, one of which out of the main is back. The other reason is probably more likely, and that is March is back here on the podcast, John.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say they're cheering because we decided to hang it up.
No, we haven't decided to hang it up. They may be cheering that, but we have not decided to hang it up.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, as everyone knows, we introduced last week, this is March. This is the time of year that we do our annual tournament. In the past, we've done the March Yachtness / Yacht Madness, the March 2 Madness, of course, the Yacht Invitational Tournament, which was the NIT, which brings us to the 2024 version, which is the Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular.
And it is spectacular so far.
Yes.
Well, we actually haven't started. We did some play-in games.
It will be spectacular once we bring our guests on.
All right, go ahead.
Because they are going to help us whittle the field down from 16 to 8. So, John, you were saying, how did we get here from there?
Well, we got here because we set up a bracket. Originally, the plan was 64 teams, and then we looked at that and said maybe 32 is better. And then we ultimately ended up with a revised version where we're going to start with 20-plus teams. We whittled that down with some play-in games to 16. We are here tonight to begin the whittling down from that 16. We have a bracket set up. We have guests online that have been with us before. And in total Toto fashion, this is a worldwide spectacular. Because I don't know how many time zones we have covered here. But I know it's evening for some of us and morning for others. So, Tom, take it away.
And it's afternoon for one of us. So you will remember the names if you've been listening along. Listener Jorn and his son, we think, listener Michael. Welcome, gentlemen.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Thank you very much.
We know Jorn listens. Michael, do you listen to the podcast?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Not as frequently as my dad, but yes, I do.
If he wants his allowance, you better listen.
Well, yes, exactly. So the listeners cannot see the background photo that we're looking at, which is every Toto CD that exists in the universe you guys own. Is that true?
I hope so.
Every Toto CD, every solo projects, you know, and some stuff's out of print. Some stuff is very obscure. Japanese releases, you name it, we've got it.
You've even got the Fanfields project, right? You were talking about that. What's that?
Well, that's musicians from around the world, mostly Europeans, who have recorded versions of Toto songs and put them on a CD or three CDs. Fantastic. You just listen to it. It's fantastic versions of Toto songs.
Mm. Tom, did I mention that Bob Clearmountain did some mixes for them?
You did? Oh, did. For Fanfield?
No. For Toto. Oh. And yes, I could see some of it there. The live stuff, the old is new stuff. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, that came up last week, as a matter of fact.
It did.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, your Toto cred then should go unquestioned. Just for the sake of our listener audience, you may remember that listener Jorn sort of badgered his way onto the podcast by recommending a Maxis episode.
It wasn't a recommend, it was a demand.
Yes. Finally, we succumbed and we said, all right, you want to do it? You come on the podcast. And that was his previous appearance. He has since doggedly pursued us to do a Toto 1 album focus.
Right.
Which we have not yet done.
Oh, no, but
what's happening?
Well, we're doing this instead, or first, or something. So I am going to school someone. I confessed last week that I am sort of an intermediate level fan of Toto. Not a beginner, so I know that there's more beyond Africa, because I've heard Rosanna. And I know a little more than that as well, but not as much as you gentlemen. So we're going to rely on you to help us go through this bracket here. John has put together some pairings in our Toto Invitational Tournament.
Yep.
So we're going to go through each of these. What we're asking you to do is to tell us which of the two songs, head-to-head, that you feel better represents what Toto is all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, we feel that there's like this underlying question. We know the obvious power of a Rosanna or an Africa. Culturally, you can look up the spin numbers on Spotify or Apple or any of these places. We know. And maybe it's a foregone conclusion that one of those two wins, and we'll see. If that's the case, then they have to go against each other. But I wondered if Toto fans that really dig deep into their catalog maybe find a nugget or a song that they like better than that, that maybe can become an unsung hero and win this championship. So that's sort of the underbelly of this whole thing.
Absolutely.
So should we get to it?
I think we should get to it. Are you guys ready for this?
Ready when you are.
Cool. Like I said, let's take a look at these pairings.
All right.
All right. I am going to start. So we're going to cover every region. John mentioned in our previous episode that we tried to cover just about every album that there is. So we're trying to spread the wealth around, cover most of the catalog as we can.
Yep.
But again, we're limited to 16 songs.
So, yeah, so by the time we got down to 16, not all the big albums were covered. That part is needs to be set out front. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the middle matchup. So we have four brackets of four each. Obviously, that's how I got to 16. And we're going to start with the middle for each of these and just see if any surprises come along. All right. Let's start with the first one. Gentlemen, Michael and Jorn. Sometimes listener Michael and always listener Jorn. What? The matchup here is Leah. Which is the 3 seed in this region, going against the 2 seed, Pamela. So we've already started with a catfight. Leah and Pamela.
Oh boy,
gentlemen,
those girl
which
songs.
Song better represents what Toto's all about to you?
I'll let the old man go first.
Okay. Jorn?
There can only be one. Representing Toto is Pamela. I mean, Leah is sort of a jazzy tune which written by Steve Porcaro, and Steve Porcaro songs are often slightly different from the rest of the Toto songs. So I think, you know, Pamela with Jeff's fantastic groove and a fantastic song overall. So out of those two, there can only be one winner. But Pamela would be my choice to represent Toto.
All right, Michael.
And I agree, not because he's my dad, but as a tour de force, as an album opener, you've got that killer groove, that low bass figure that Mike doubles with David Page on the piano there. I've always had a affinity for the Steve Porcaro tunes. I'm a huge fan of his, and you know from his programming to the songs that he's written, everybody knows that he wrote Human Nature, and I've always been a big fan of his, you know, quieter tunes. Like that there's a special guest, Don Henley, on backing vocals as well. But to represent the band, it has to be Pamela.
Do you have any does it bother you at all that in many ways it feels like it took the exact stencil, the exact mold of Rosanna and just dropped it into a new song several years later?
I don't mind.
Not when it's done so well.
Well, that's my feeling. It's funny. I set you up with the question, but that's my feeling. It's done so well, I don't care. Yeah.
If it's successful, why not do it again?
Yeah. All right, Tom, are you going to veto any of that?
No arguments. You're exactly right. Leah's a beautiful song, but it's a bit of an outlier stylistically, although it was covered by Page 99, who you may have heard of.
Yes, we love that.
All right, let's go to the next bracket, which the 2-3 matchup. Let's look at this pair. I Won't Hold You Back, the ballad. Right,
big time.
And Make Believe, the 12-8 banger.
Michael, you go first.
Yeah, sure. Oof, I Won't Hold You Back. You know, orchestration by James Newton Howard, conducted by Marty Paich and a London Symphony Orchestra. It's to fully represent the band is to sort of take a look at them not as musicians but as arrangers, producers and songwriters as well, and just how well they execute that. And I Won't Hold You Back is like, you know, they're such stellar musicians and such stellar songwriters and arrangers that it's one of the best, you know, sort of power ballads that you could listen to. It's up there with, you know, with the best of them, I feel.
Tom, that's how you bring analysis to the podcast right there.
Yeah. Would you like to take my seat?
Yes.
Like long term.
Right. Jorn.
Well, yeah, what can I say?
No kidding.
I have one thing with Jeff Porcaro that even on ballads, he sounds groovy. And this is another one of those. He's always bringing the groove, whether it's a ballad or an up-tempo song. So Make Believe is another great Jeff Porcaro group. So it's difficult. I'm going to have to use my handkerchief.
He keeps wiping away his tears, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, his brow is very sweaty. What's your pick?
I have to agree with my son. I Won't Hold You Back. I mean, that's a classic. And it's Rick Beato's favorite Toto song.
Yeah, so. I have no dispute with that either. I think I Won't Hold You Back is one of the greatest ballads of its era. No question. Hands down. Yeah. Which is nothing against Make Believe. Make Believe is a very good album track from a very good album, but I Won't Hold You Back, obviously same album, is super special.
And one of my favorite Bobby Kimball performances as well. He brings it in that too. Mm. But yep. No question.
Still goes to I Won't Hold You Back. Mm. All right. Tom, veto?
No, I'm not going to veto. I would have gone Make Believe, but not like in a landslide. It would have been close. Wasn't I Won't Hold You Back the song that like they're already recording or they're in the session, and I don't know who it was, but suggested that there needs to be a bridge here. And then Luke Guthrie says, oh, yeah, this has a bridge, and just writes it on the fly. And they're perfect.
That's
like,
right.
So then he's like, now I got to do a lead over it.
Yeah, he was at the piano. That's right.
That does exemplify their brilliance once again. So I'm not going to argue. Let's put them through.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
John, are you taking notes, by the way? Because
I'm writing it down. I am putting it in, well, I was going to say ink. It's not ink, but you know, it's a PDF.
Okay.
For those that need to know.
All right. Pretty darn fun. Let's go to the next 2-3 matchup, which is the 2 seed 99. Paired up with the 3 seed, I'll Supply the Love. You supply the night, baby, I'll supply the love. You supply the night, baby. Oh, boy.
I'll go first because Toto was my first vinyl back in 78. I went to the shop. I knew I was going to buy I Am, Earth, Wind & Fire, and Breakfast in America.
Wow.
Supertramp. But I had heard Hold the Line on German radio because then Danish radio was a bit behind the ball. So I went to the local shop and they had Toto 1. So I put it. I asked if I could try it, listen to it, and you know, so you can buy it if you like it. And I, you know, starts with Charles Anthem, and then I Supply the Love. And after I heard I'll Supply the Love, I said, okay, I'm getting this album. Just to make sure, I listened to Georgie Porgy and Manuela Ron as well. but I mean, I'll Supply the Love is the song that made me be a Toto fan. 99 is a beautiful track. It's fantastic. Again, Porcaro's drumming is sensational. But I'll Supply the Love. As you can see on the YouTube video center, which you don't put out there, but you know, it's been that was a song that made me become a Toto fan.
This would be our first upset, by the way. So don't let that influence you.
We're not that far yet.
I'm saying it would be our first. It would be.
Well, that all would have been our first upset.
I have to agree with my dad. My Toto, in the same way that Toto One was his first record, Toto One was my first record. And just after, you know, the opening salvo, Child's Anthem, having just also Pied of Love just go right out there. Bobby Kimball, you know, I see the horseman in the sky. Just
all right. You see, for me, the problem I have with I'll Supply the Love is it starts off with that great guitar riff, great chorus, like you do the chorus before the verse, and then I never felt like the verses with the screamy vocal and the funky guitar ever really connect to the chorus. Now, I'm not going to tell them how to write a song, but for me, they never really sort of went together. They were two great pieces that didn't necessarily go together. And for me, the ultimate feel, if you wanted to ever tell somebody what does Jeff Porcaro play like, you play him 99, you feel that groove, and you know that there's no one else that plays like that, and that defines him. For me, it would be 99, but Tom, where do you lean on this?
Well, are you going to exercise your one veto? We each get one veto.
No, because I made good cases. I'm not going to veto. I'm giving my case. But okay. If you agree with me, then I think...
Can I raise a point that I'll Supply the Love, I think, shows off their studio musician skills because it's got, what, four or five different tempos.
Like time feels, just transitioning from, yeah.
Four or five different drum grooves in one song. And maybe that just shows off all their influences, prog, R&B.
Oh, yeah, that crazy ending, too, is very prog, yeah.
So I think it just shows off all the things that make Toto, what they can play whatever you put in front of them.
It's a good case.
They can make it swing like mad.
Well, Tom has this theory that there's like four different quadrants of Toto, and these two songs come from two different quadrants. So, Tom...
Yeah, exactly. And 99 would come from the Yacht Rock quadrant.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to be overly influenced by that. But I tie this to their Boz stuff as well. So you talk about JoJo and 99. So I would have personally picked 99, but you made such a great case. I am not going to even think about exercising my veto. So let's
put
I'll Supply the Love through.
All right.
In an upset.
Through. Yep.
All right. And our final 2-3 matchup is very similar in the fact that we've got Stop Loving You. I can't stop loving you. Time passes quickly and chances are few. Which to me, John, isn't that the song that I said kinda, if you put all of the four quadrants and it had to have one song without switching styles, that's what Stop Loving You is to me. And then Georgie Porgy, which is kind of more the same of 99. So... Where do you gentlemen stand on this one?
Oh, gosh. I'll let my dad go first. I have to think about that one.
Well, does everyone hate Georgie Porgy because of the Georgie Porgy vocal lyric? Is it the lyric that bothers everybody? Or is there something else? Because I always see this song so maligned.
I think it's that part.
I saw them on the tour with Jean-Michel Byron, and it was the background singer who sang the whole song back in the day. Not even Jean-Michel Byron could sing that up there. Georgie Porgy, I think that was the first Toto song that Michael and I wanted to play when we started drumming together.
That was the second song I ever learned to play on the drums.
It's a good groove. Mm.
I still have carpal tunnel syndrome from that, and that's 10 years.
So are you taking your revenge out on it and kicking it out of the tournament?
No. I'm trying to make a point for it because I think Georgie Porgy is from Toto 1, and if I put up Toto 1 versus Toto 7, I think most of the time Toto 1 will win. And Stop Loving You, I know that that is a popular song. I mean, in Europe, Toto 7, I think I mentioned it, created so many AOR melodic rock bands in Europe when that was popular in Europe. I mean, forget America, it was very popular in Europe. And that created so many melodic rock AOR bands in Europe, hence you have Fanfields. And it's a great album, but Stop Loving You, for me, it's probably my least, one of the least favorite songs in on the seventh one. So my vote goes for Jordy Porgy.
Okay, Michael, your thoughts?
Ah, jeez, I'll put my vote in for Stop Loving You, because that's got such a that's got such a great groove to it, and that bass line is absolutely that little pop that Mike does is I love that song for its groove, its arrangement. It's a great showcase of Joseph Williams. You know, I've always enjoyed the imagery that he brought to Toto lyrics during that time. What he sort of came up with, the sort of new flavor of lyrical content that he came up with David Page, was, you know, I've always had a soft spot for the seventh one. And I mean, with Georgie Porgy, I do think, you know, it's of its time, but it's definitely, mm-hmm. I'll Keep Forgetting adjacent.
It is. Yeah.
It's in that sort of wheelhouse, but I'll put in my vote for Stop Loving You, because I can never get that groove out of my head.
Yeah.
For me, that's just that, the Procrower rhythm section, just Mike and Jeff, it's like that.
Cool.
There goes the allowance.
There goes the allowance.
You know, for me, the seventh one is my favorite Toto album, and it isn't even close. But it is true, like what Jorn said, I think that Stop Loving You might be the fifth or sixth best song on the record. Couple that didn't even make this tournament, such as Only the Children, Mashonga, you know, I put above it. Oh man, that's a hard pick, because there's some great moments in Stop Loving You, but I feel that groove of, you know, Georgie Porgy that reminds me maybe a lot of 99. I don't know. And that just feels like Toto to me. So Tom, you're going to have to put us over the top here.
Do you want me to make it easy on you? I'll make it really easy on you. Stop Loving You is going through, baby.
Oh,
love this track. Michael is spot on. Fellow bass player, Mike Porcaro nails this tune. Jeff Porcaro nails everything. This touches all the bases. This hits some yachtiness. I'm hearing some prog in there. I'm hearing it all. Put it through, and Georgie Porgy, go kiss those pudding pies or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, kiss those girls and make them cry.
All right, commercial break, and then we are going to come back with the other matchups. So commercial break, let's do that first.
All right, we're back. Whew. All right, so Jorn asked to leave the room for a moment to compose himself. Jorn, you're back. Everything okay?
I'm here.
Okay. He didn't say everything's okay.
71.5. Stop Loving
You. Stop Loving You is probably not rated.
Well, Jorn didn't listen to the first episode this season. We're not Yacht Rock centered anymore. We've grown beyond that. So those scores don't matter anymore.
It ain't on the Yachtsky. Stop Loving You is not on the Yachtsky scale, sadly. I don't think it is.
So
moving on.
Well, and I wanted to use my veto, because I doubt I'm going to need it beyond here.
Oh, you're looking ahead. I see.
Well, we got the 1-4 matchups left. Right, so well, unless there's some shenanigans going on, let's start with the tournament's number one overall seed, Rosanna. Rosanna's the number one overall seed, faces These Chains.
You know, this isn't as obvious as it seems, man, because These Chains has so many great things going on, even though it's a deeper cut. Go ahead, guys.
Oh, gosh darn it. Those are like my two, those are like my like, those two songs are probably some of my favorite Toto songs ever. Like, just those two in particular. I absolutely adore These Chains. It's, again, everybody knows, you know, the story of how Jeff came up with his variation on the Purdy Shuffle, and, you know, combining, you know, Bo Diddley figure with the Fool in the Rain figure, and, you know, the The Purdy, everybody knows that. And These Chains is his, that's the Purdy shuffle. Right. And he does it so well. Yep. And it's such a great power ballad. But it has to be Rosanna. That is I love those two tunes. But Rosanna is, crown jewel.
Yep.
For me. Everybody is firing on all cylinders on that track.
This is a case of the tragically underseeded team gets in the tournament, but they get rewarded by playing Duke in the first round.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, gee, thanks. I agree with everything you said. So where does the elder Michael stand?
You're not going to try to pronounce her last name?
I was just going to say that I raised my son well. Look, These Chains, or you know where this is going. These Chains is... I always describe Rosanna as the big sister and these Chains as the little sister. And, you know, it's the same Purdy shuffly groove. I mean, I love how he lists. I've tried to play this song a million times. I love how he lists the hi-hat Purdy style on These Chains.
Little openings, yeah.
I can't do it. Why can't I do it? I mean, Rosanna is... It brought the band back and it was the biggest hit. And that drum groove, and again, another groove, I get carpal tunnels syndrome as well from that song. And the horn breaks, the swampy Louisiana groove, guitar solos, the guitar solos, the keyboard solos. I mean, that is...
The Jerry Hay on that.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just going to copy and paste what they said and put that down for me. So
the quintessential tone song. Rosanna, that's the number one song. But I want to avoid an upset like we had last year. That pick got anyway. But listen to my
yes.
All right, Rosanna is through.
All right. Well, that was all very well said. I have nothing to add. I agree, John. Same. You said copy and paste. All right,
copy and paste.
All right. Control V, Control C. All right, did that backwards. All right. Let's go. This one is also kind of a tricky one. I'm surprised we have a number one seed. I'll Be Over You. Facing an upstart, this is one of those sleepers, Cinderella's 4 seed Without Your Love. It's not the same without your love. Every night and every day, girl.
It's not the same without your love. From the same album, again, as I always come back to with Jeff Porcaro, ballads. He can play ballads. Everybody probably says, oh, another ballad. Okay, I can just wing it. But he puts an excruciatingly good groove on both of these songs. It's a long way around getting to the point. I'll Be Over You.
Yeah, Randy Goodrum composition in there, right?
Mm.
Yep.
Michael.
I concur in the same way that John just said, like how Pamela is a distant cousin for Rosanna. I'll Be Over You, I feel, is always you can compare it with I Won't Hold You Back. Not as epic, obviously, but that is Without Your Love, though, that's a killer groove. I've always adored the guitar solo, your epitome of 80s rack tunes. You like 80s rack tone for guitar players, the sort of the driven sound along with the clean,
the chorus,
almost DI sound, right, on top of that. It's a great guitar solo and it's such a cool tone. But I'll Be Over You is it's one of their last big hits. In America, and it's got such a cool groove, and fellow captain Michael McDonald on backing vocals as well.
Yep.
And you can't beat it. It's I'll Be Over You. That's got to be it.
Yeah, I feel I'll Be Over You, despite its success and despite its numbers on Spotify, I feel it sort of flies under the radar for people. So, but yeah, I'll Be Over You all day long for me.
I myself would have been tempted to put Without Your Love through, but I don't feel strongly enough about it to, and I don't have a veto left anyway. But I'm perfectly fine with I'll Be Over You. You're so right, Jorn, about Porcaro's approach to ballads. The beautiful stuff he puts in would go undetected by most people.
Yeah.
But pay attention to it, and you'll just be rewarded with sonic bliss.
Or you do the Porcaro test, which is if your head goes like this, even if it's a bump, you know it's the Porcaro.
It's all right. I explained that to my wife once. I said, you know why you're doing that? Because Jeff Porcaro's playing.
Well, let's move along now to the one of our final two matchups. This pair in the Toto Invitational Tournament, spectacular, pairs up Africa. Gotta take the life to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. And I Will Remember.
Okay, I see what you did there. That's very strategic. Because I, before I woke up this morning and said, if Africa comes up, I may not give Africa my vote because, you know, it's been done to death, right? How many million versions of Africa is there out there? I mean, it's a great song. It's got fantastic lyrics. I Will Remember is from Tambu, which is often an overlooked album by Toto. Tambu has never stuck with me as well as with Toto 4.
Michael, do you agree? Do you want your allowance?
I would like my allowance. I mean, I Will Remember is, you know, it's got great sentiment to it. It's, a great lesson in dynamics, which is Simon Phillips is a fan, you know, he's a very dynamic drummer, fantastic drummer, very melodic drummer too. And that song is basically a testament to that. It will have to be Africa.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let over familiarity taint my opinion because I've heard this song more times than I need to. But it was structured in such a unique way. It shows that their ability to make music in a lot of different ways. And it's possibly the best harmonies they ever put together on those choruses. Africa has to go through.
I went into this tournament thinking Africa would be the most vulnerable one seed because of what Michael was saying. Such an outlier. There's not another song in the world that sounds like this, let alone another Toto song. So
that should be a credit to it. Yes.
Yes. But it got me to thinking, like, if we're picking the most representative of Toto, well, this is representative of nothing other than maybe Toto's uniqueness. So
correct.
I thought it might go down. No arguments, though. Africa should go through, and it has gone through, which brings us to the final.
Which other song has Kilimanjaro and Serengeti in the lyrics as well?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe Mushanga. I don't know.
Maybe Mushanga. It's basically a rewrite. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the final matchup.
The final pair. This is a nice pair.
It is.
In the Toto Invitational Tournament.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah, it does.
That is.
Big matchup.
Ooh. Yeah, big pairing here. The Hold the Line is in. That's from Toto 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Uh-huh.
Is it? Mr. Jorn. Yeah, is it? Love is always on time. Oh, oh, oh. For the line. Well, listen to our forthcoming episode and you'll learn all about it. The four seed in this region is Till the End.
Smoker off of Fahrenheit. Yes.
Okay, Michael, once I let you go first.
Oh, oh, that's a hard one. That's actually a hard one. Okay, I'll make a case for Till the End first. As an album opener, just for, you know, debut album with Joseph Williams on it. I hate to coin a Charlie Puth term here, but there's sort of like an anti-chorus, if you will, where it's kind of just dives down it has to be Hold the Line. It's got that killer 12-8, I believe it was a King Solomon's Mine sort of vibe going on there that Jeff mentioned that that's where he got that groove from. And, it's Tour de Force by Luke. That's Bobby Kimball's stuff. Like he's still around. He's one of the best high tenors in the business. Like, and dare I say, the sound of Toto for a lot of people, I guess, my dad and I included, but Hold the Line.
All right.
For me.
He says it has to be Hold the Line. Jorn, does it have to be Hold the Line?
Somewhere back in 1978, I was listening to German radio because as I said Danish radio was a little bit behind the eight ball. And there was every Saturday there was a hit parade show where the guy played songs from Europe and from America from the top charts. And I, one of those moments where you know exactly where you were, like 9/11 or other. And I remember in my room listening to this show, and he says, "Okay, now here's Hold the Line, Toto." And what is this? Fantastic song. I can only choose Hold the Line till the end. It's a deep cut.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a big hit because Fahrenheit, by that time they had lost their mojo a bit. But Hold the Line put them on the map.
Whoa, hold on there. I love Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit is a great album.
Yeah. I like Michael said, the drop chorus is really cool in that song. There's Joseph has a terrible ad lib at the end where he's talking about he's re-quoting the lyric about a lock being open. It's open, it's open, it's all the way open. Like, oh, did you really say that? But, my coming into Toto was Hold the Line. They didn't become the band that I thought they were going to be once I heard that song. Mm-hmm. I thought they would be something different. I love what they became, but that was my entry song. So, yeah, I think Hold the Line has got to go through.
Okay. Honorable mention to the bass work in Till the End.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that does it. We are down to the Elite Eight from the Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular.
Yeah, let's take a look at what those matchups are going to be for next week. So we're going to have girl on girl, another cat fight. We're going to have Rosanna and Pamela go against each other. Ooh, How'd rare. That work out? Yeah. Is the copy better than the original? I guess we'll find out.
Yes.
It's another big sister versus little sister.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about big sister, little sister. Like Michael said, we're going to have I'll Be Over You versus I Won't Hold You Back.
Ooh.
Africa goes up against Stop Loving You. So the Outlier goes against the song that has everything Toto in it, all in one song. Wow. Yeah. And then Hold the Line, which is where probably most people came in, is going to go against I'll Supply the Love. So it's a Toto 1 matchup. Ooh. So there you go.
Doggy.
Exciting next week, baby.
Yep, we've got a new guest coming in to help finish this thing off. We want to thank our current guests, on again, off again, listener Michael and listener Jorn. So, gentlemen, thank you so much for doing this. You guys definitely brought the cred that I do not myself have in the Toto sphere. So, thank you guys.
Thank you very much for having us on again. And I'll keep pestering you. Don't worry.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. We have a common sign off to our podcast. It's two words. Jorn, would you like to give us the first word?
Ahoy.
Michael?
Paloi.
Goodbye.